With us on the line from Toronto, Canada, is Robert Brim, a political sociologist at the University of Toronto, whose recent specialty is the dynamics of political violence in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He recently co-authored a study on Palestinian suicide bombings, or martyrdom operations, as Palestinians typically refer to these attacks. What is new and unique about Professor Brim's conclusions is that the chief motivation, he found that the chief motivation, not the exclusive one, but the main motivation of suicide bombers and of the organizations that send them, is not religious zeal, as some have suggested, and not a grand, well-thought-out strategic scheme, as suggested by others, but it is first and foremost retaliation, retribution, or plainly revenge. Bob, let's start with the methodology. Can you give us a quick answer that would explain how you reached this conclusion?
Well, we have to probe a number of different sources. First of all, my Palestinian PhD student, Badr Araj, went to the West Bank in Gaza and interviewed families of suicide bombers, sample of 25% of all suicide bombers during the Second Intifada. He not only interviewed one member of each family, but actually several members of each family, so he could ensure that the opinions he heard were triangulated. Another source of information was newspaper accounts from the New York Times, Haaretz, and also Al-Quds in Jerusalem and Al-Quds Al-Arabi from London, England. But he also went to official documentation, that is, statements made by the suicide bombers, videos and so on, before they engaged in their attack, and official statements from their organization.
How would you depict the motivation of suicide bombers?
Well, I think you actually did a very good job in your introduction. Oftentimes, people had very specific issues in mind when they committed themselves to engaging in suicide attacks. For example, if the Israeli military was responsible for the death of a close relative, or in one case, for preventing an elderly father from getting cancer treatment in an Israeli hospital, it could build up tremendous resentment and even hatred on the part of the Palestinians. There were also collective events, you know, when collective punishment was exacted on the Palestinian population for various forms of Palestinian violence, then people could develop tremendous resentment as well and hatred. So retribution, revenge was all part of it. I should mention, however, that the strategic thinking was more prominent on the part of militant leaders than on the part of suicide bombers themselves. We also interviewed 75 members of militant organizations in the West Bank and Gaza, that is Fatah, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and so on. And when they were probed about the motivations they had in organizing suicide bombings, their motivations were clearly more strategic than those of the bombers themselves. Mm-hmm. So there is that difference. Mm-hmm. As far as the attackers themselves are concerned, we found a surprisingly strong vengeful element in their motivational mix.
Bob, let me ask you, people often use the term cycle of violence in reference to the conflict.
But it's not just a tit-for-tat violence that we're talking about, because if there was simply a cycle of violence, it would go on forever. And as we know, what happens is that there are cycles of violence that then die off, and then they start again. The question is, you know, why do they die off, and why do they resume again, and at what level do they resume? We're now working on some of these issues by doing a statistical analysis of Israeli and Palestinian deaths from 1987 until 2007. And what our initial results show is that repression can, in fact, lower the level of violence. But the curtailing of violence over a period of time doesn't necessarily mean that the problem is solved, because the repressive acts on the part of the Israeli government can, in turn, build up resentments on the part of the repressed population. It can mobilize new recruits, and it can radicalize the population. So what happens at the end of the day is that the population is even more radicalized than it was at the beginning of the repression. So, you know, there can be a temporary solution, in a sense, in quotation marks, to mm-hmm. a problem like suicide bombing, but it does that solution creates its own later failures insofar as it radicalizes the population and leads eventually to an escalation of the conflict.
What then does work, what would be your policy conclusion, your operational policy conclusion then?
Well, I would recommend two approaches. First of all, defensive measures. But secondly, ultimately, the only possible solution can be a territorial compromise and a long-term peace.